What is going on, guys? Hey, this is Sean from the Lineup Logic Podcast. Before we jump into today's pod, I want to talk to you about Harry's, our sponsor. Of course, you guys have heard me talk about this before. I am a Harry's guy. I have been a long time. Just take care of it. It's one of those things in your life that you don't want to have to worry about. You need a razor? Go to harrys.com/lineup. Sign up for their free trial package. They're going to mail it everything to you for free. You just pay the shipping. You sign up, you pay the shipping. They're going to mail you the razor, the cartridges, the shave gel. Okay? And then you just sign up to have Harry's delivered to your door on a regular basis, and you don't have to worry about whether or not you have, you know, a decent razor blade in the house, whether or not you're going to run out of shaving gel, whether or not you need to go down to CVS and pick up more. It's there. It's perfect. It's the best quality razor that I've ever had. I never look back. I've been a Harry's guy for a long time. So harrys.com/lineup. Sign up today. Support the show. So let's take a look at today. And let's take a look at today's main slate. Lineup Logic Podcast, the daily fantasy podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the DFS slate to come on FanDuel. Hopefully, you've already listened to me once today. You listened to the early slate. Maybe you got that in this morning. But we're going to go ahead and jump into this evening's main slate, which honestly is just good, high-quality basketball. If you liked the football yesterday, woo, the basketball tonight is going to be a whole lot of fun. I mean, Golden State Cleveland, obviously. That's what you're most worried about. So should be a good time. Hey, also a good time to remind you, patreon.com/lineup. That is where you need to go for all things NBA DF lineup logic. Excuse me. Patreon.com/lineup logic. All things NBA DFS. You can get $15 fantasy 5x5 plus our cheat sheet, our Slack chat. I mean, guys, it is a fun community. It is a community driven by guys who are enjoy the game, who understand, you know, how they want to build their own lines. They want to take chances. They want to do different things. We have different styles of players, different levels of players all over the place. It's a community that I really appreciate. So shout out to all those in the Lineup Logic community. Of course, guys, new guys, welcome to the fold. Charles, Eddie, Andrew, welcome in there. Of course, Bill just upgraded to the $15 tier, but a longtime supporter of the show. Welcome, of course, and Kevin as well. Same good choice, Kevin. Get in that product from Fantasy 5x5. Nader subscribed. Hattatax subscribed in January. Gary, Brandon, Kirby, Troy, Thomas, Mark, all of you guys, welcome. Jim, all of you guys, welcome, welcome, welcome to the fold. It's just awesome to have. It's awesome to have everybody here. And I appreciate you. I really appreciate you supporting the show. You know, it's just me. It's just me, man. And Ryan and Josh, we are running it here. So, very, very appreciative of you guys. And if you haven't gotten on board, if you're interested in getting on board, DM me, talk to me, talk to Chris over at Fantasy 5x5. We'll talk to you. We're real guys. We really want to make this work. We appreciate everybody. If it's not working for you, whatever the case may be, let's talk, let's figure out what's going on. So, Definitely a great spot to get involved in if you're looking for a DFS support, you know, beyond podcasts and beyond your own research. So we have an awesome games, and of course I'm, you know, sure Golden State Cleveland, but everybody's looking forward to Sacramento Oklahoma City. So let's go ahead and jump in and take a look at what Vegas has to say about tonight's main slate. All right, first game of the night, like I mentioned, in OKC, the Thunder will host the Sacramento Kings. They are favored by 12. 209 total. This total is actually dropping, which betting the under is not the worst thing in the world in this one. I would kind of agree. 12-point spread, no doubt about it. Makes total sense. This is a total domination spot for the Thunder, even though they have been struggling. We're not going to see Andre Roberson back in this one. We are on the Kings side going to see George Hill back. So he has kind of thrown, you know, a shitty wrench into all of the things that were happening with the Kings when we were getting, you know, 30 minutes out of Bogdan, decent production there. It's a mess in Sacramento. The only guy that you're ever interested in touching over there is Willie Cauley-Stein, who's been very consistent of late. But on the Thunder side of things, of course, you know, this is a Westbrook smash spot. This is a Paul George, Carmelo, you know, possibly hit value spot, but it's mostly a spot that I'm interested in Steven Adams. Easy to get him involved in the front against the front court of Sacramento. They have struggled with centers all year long, so I am looking at him. Moving on, the 9 o'clock game in Utah. This one is Pacers-Jazz, and Pacers-Jazz is a 207 total. Jazz favored by 4.5 at home. Should be a fun game. I think it's fun because you have two teams with kind of very different identities. Pacers have been running, trying to outscore opponents, and the Jazz are going to do the opposite. They're going to slow down, but they do have a lot of offensive weapons here. Of course, Miles Turner probably out again with the elbow injury. I don't see any reason why he would come back. Maybe on the we haven't heard any news from him changing anything. So I'm going to expect that DeMontis Sabonis continues to start at the five and that Thad Young gets about 30 plus minutes at the four. He's actually confirmed out, not doubtful. He is now confirmed out. As much as you'd like to go to Oladipo, this is a pretty bad spot for shooting guards. So not exactly my favorite spot for him. I do like Donovan Mitchell, however, on the opposite side of this. We saw him in a great, great, great performance against Charlotte. I talked about him on the Friday show. He dominated over 30 points. Derek Favors back. He's hard to trust, but if you wanted a high floor, low ceiling power forward against Indiana, I think Derek Favors might be your guy in this situation. About 28 to 30 minutes. Bad front court defense. You could definitely see a nice performance from Favors here while everybody's looking for more value at that position. I didn't actually talk about Warriors Cavs, and it's on the East Coast time zone. I just scrolled over it. Sorry. Warriors Cavs, 233 total. That's amazing. Love it. Cavs are 5.5 point dogs at home. Total is going up, but they are, they're 5-point home dogs right now, which is not just home court advantage. Like that is a serious margin, that's like a 10-12 point swing there, in the favor of the Warriors based on what you normally see for home court advantage. So Vegas does not see this one as even, and I kind of agree with the way the Cavs have been playing lately, letting everyone play to their level. I just don't see that they are really like comfortable with Isaiah in the starting lineup right now, and he's only been playing about 20 to 24 minutes, but he has not been very useful, and really, the only thing that he's done is take away opportunity from LeBron. You look at the games where Isaiah has played and put up over 10 shots. He really can't not shoot the ball. Like, he's going to take shots. LeBron had only 8 attempts in the Minnesota game and 16 attempts in the Toronto game. And then he sits in the Indiana game, 25 attempts. Guys, it is going to be hard for this team to get accustomed to playing with LeBron and IT on the same lineup. It's just not really working just yet. If I'm Ty Lue, I'm telling IT to take a back seat, like back down, back off, man. You're doing too much. Kevin Love and LeBron need to get their touches on the first unit. I think he has to be a complimentary piece to LeBron. I don't think there's any reason that you should think anything else. I think they're willing to take some lumps to get growing pains, but how long do those growing pains exist until you make a change strategically? Everybody's healthy on the Warriors, so, oh my God. I'm really interested in Steph in this situation, Clay. I think KD and LeBron, after that Christmas game, are probably going to try to take each other out of it a little bit. I'm also interested in Draymond. He's just been an animal lately. He triple-doubled last time out here. Kevin Love also is in an interesting spot. I think the Warriors intentionally kind of left him out of the game plan, attacking other pieces. So Kevin Love was capable of just kind of running through the middle freely. If you remember, he had a huge double-double in that game. We'll talk a little bit more about him in this situation. Last game of the night, Rockets at the Clippers, and this one has a monstrous total too. So all eyes on Golden State Cleveland, but don't sleep on this one. Rockets Clippers 228 total here, and the Rockets favored by 4.5 on the road, which, considering what the kind of the state of the Clippers, it doesn't really feel like that big of a line. You're going to see the return of Luke Mbamute. You're going to see Tariq Black back in the lineup. So I am a little bit nervous about guys like Gerald Green and Clint Capella, who have been absorbing, and Ryan Anderson, who have been absorbing a ton of minutes in the front court while these guys are out. At the maximum, you're going to see Tariq Black get 8 minutes. But if those 8 minutes come at the expense of Ryan Anderson and Clint Capella, maybe 12 minutes, then that's kind of obnoxious. You know, you're reducing their ceiling just by taking those minutes away from them and putting them on the bench. And Luke Mbamute, my guess is that he's going to probably relieve some of the pressure that they've been putting on Trevor Ariza, who's played massive minutes lately. Just defensively, he's an equivalent to Ariza. Doesn't offer the shooting, but that's fine. You know, that's okay. That's okay. So Rockets should roll here, no doubt about it. On the Clippers side of things, we're going to have to figure out if DeAndre Jordan gets back in there after his ankle blew up on that dunk. You know, bummer, man. That was like one of the first full games that he actually had to sit out. And I don't know what the streak was. I can't remember the number, but it was a big deal. Anyway, so that is it for Vegas. Let's go ahead and jump over to the player breakdown and figure out who we love. Who do you love? All right. So, you know, aside from Russell Westbrook, pretty much all of our studs are going to be, we're going to be talking about this Golden State Cleveland game now. Well, I say that, but you also have Chris Paul versus the Clippers. So let's talk about, you know, Chris Paul and Russ first, and then we'll just talk about the Cleveland studs in general, all of those guys there that you could definitely get into. So Chris Paul versus the Clippers, obviously we got the revenge game narrative here, but the real thing that you probably want to concentrate on is the fact that, you know, the Clippers have really actually struggled quite a bit with defense in the backcourt. You know, we have seen a number of players have strong backcourt performances against this team. And, I mean, in general, in the last 10 games, Clippers have allowed 36 fantasy points to the point guard. That's 15% above average, according to this gorgeous, beautiful Fantasy 5x5 DVP deep dive tool. Absolutely love it. We've seen guys like, I mean, De'Aaron Fox had a game against them. Steph had a massive game against them. I have no issue projecting Chris Paul to have a big game against the Clippers. You know, I mean, Teodosic and Rivers is out. Teodosic is just not necessarily the caliber of defender that can handle Chris Paul. You know, they've allowed above average scoring, above average rebounds, above average assists, definitely above average assists. So, you know, and generally speaking, this is a mediocre to bad defense. They're 19th in the league in defensive efficiency overall. So I have no problems with Chris Paul. He likes the building. Obviously, you know, you get that little narrative streak going as well. I think you could definitely talk yourself into Chris Paul. Now, Russ, of course, has the highest floor of any of the 11K players on a regular basis. He always does. There's no reason to ever doubt that Russell Westbrook is going to get you over 40 fantasy points. And in that respect, he is just so reliably consistent. I'm looking at these, you know, I look at his player page here and I'm average 58 over the course of the last five. You know, the usage is back to where it was last year. Unbelievable. 38% usage, averaging 28 points in that span, not 10 rebounds, 9 assists, 2 plus steals. And of course you love them against Sacramento. Why wouldn't you love them against Sacramento? They're a terrible, terrible basketball team. They're one of the worst defenses in the league. The only reason that you would talk yourself off of them is because of pace and because of potential blowout. Now, the goofy thing about this is, remember that the Thunder lost to them in Sacramento earlier this year. He only had 45 fantasy points in that game on 20 and on 35% usage too. I mean, so it wasn't like he was taking a back seat. He just wasn't actually scoring. 21 attempts, but only scored only scored 25 points in that game. So, you know, classic inefficient Russell Westbrook performance. But I think you do go to him. The pace is the concern for me. You always want him in a little bit of a more competitive pace-up game, but there really has not been a game where he has actually benefited from a blowout situation at all, except for the most recent one that you could look at is the Jazz game, where they destroyed the Jazz before Christmas, but he had 47 points in that game, and he didn't play the fourth quarter. He had 57 fantasy points, even in a blowout. So he is part of the blowout equation in this situation. I just don't see him going below 45 fantasy points. So Russ, a very consistent, very, very nice cash game play. I think you can fit him in alongside a lot of other choices that make good sense. Now, let's talk about the three studs, and well, four. I'll consider Draymond a stud from this Golden State-Cleveland game. And I want to talk about Steph. You know, I'm always looking for a reason to roster Steph Curry. I'm always looking for an excuse to get him in my lineups. Just personally, I love him. I love his game. I love everything about the way he has orchestrated that team and actually quietly been the leader. And I mean, the man has just been insane. 1.5 fantasy points per minute in the last five, averaging 51 fantasy points in that span. Of course, now that does include the blow-up game without KD against the Clippers, where he went and scored 45 real-life points, and he scored over 30 in two of those games, which, okay, fine. If you're saying to yourself, yeah, but that was without KD because the knee or the calf strain. Yes, okay, I get it. I do. I understand what you're saying. But we've also seen Cleveland's backcourt defense just be absolutely brutal. We know that they have given up, you know, they are literally 29th. Only defense that's worse in the league is Sacramento. So why not stack up Warriors? Why not attack them? They have given up 1.3 more points on average to the position, the point guard position. You know, they rank 24th in DVP, 24th in DVP to the point guard. So, you know, this isn't Phoenix or Orlando or something, but this is a pretty bad point guard defense. And I think Steph Curry could certainly take advantage of and make sure, you know, and make this one of his games, especially if you kind of think that LeBron is going to try to take KD out of the game. Now, can he take KD out of the game? I'm not completely sure that he can, to be honest with you. But I love the matchup with Cleveland, and I'm not necessarily scared of Isaiah Thomas. I'm not necessarily scared of J.R. Smith, who just has not looked the same. They're averaging, you know, point guards against the Cavs are averaging 27 fantasy points, and they haven't really faced anyone serious of late. You know, they really haven't. You know, DeLon Wright, Darren Collison, Tyus Jones, the last three that they have seen. You know, Elf had 32 in just 26 minutes, didn't get a lot of run and still produced a pretty serious volume there. I just don't have an issue with Steph Curry in this situation. I think he's a very interesting pivot off of, you know, Russ or Chris Paul. And you may want to have two stud point guards. It's a deep position tonight. You may want to do two stud point guards if you feel like you can fit them in. Now, moving over to small forward, and you have LeBron versus Kevin Durant. And it's really hard to use any normal metrics to kind of try to quantify this matchup. Really, to be completely honest with you, it's almost impossible to try to understand what it is that, you know, makes these two go. I mean, I think we all watch the Christmas game. You watch the Christmas game and you say, wow, KD, Defensive Player of the Year. Yeah, right. Okay. Well, I mean, he did get away with what was basically considered three fouls in sequence there at the end. You know, it was a low scoring game, to be honest with you. And we're looking at a game that, you know, in that situation only hit 191 points, 92 to 99. And now they're projecting it for 230 in Cleveland. And the way that Cleveland has been playing their defense, they have to. And this is what's really unique about this team is they're 29th in defensive efficiency. But then you flip it over to offensive efficiency, and you literally have Golden State as the best offense in the league and Cleveland as the fifth best offense in the league. You have a team that it can score and will score. And if they're scoring, it's going to be happening through LeBron. I'm going to be honest with you. I am worried about the addition of Isaiah Thomas. You have seen a couple instances in which LeBron has taken a backseat to Isaiah, and it's really not been a good thing. Okay. The assists are down, the rebounds are down. He's not the fantasy juggernaut that he was. And that worries me. I mean, I'm looking at, you know, the Minnesota game, for example, 21% usage, 1.1 fantasy points per minute. That's not what I need. That's not what I need out of LeBron. And then with the Pacers game, 1.48 fantasy points per minute with no Isaiah out there. So an 11 assist versus, you know, one assist, for example, in the Raptors game where they got blown out. And LeBron, I felt like, I don't know, I watching that game, I just felt like he wasn't touching the ball. Is there a learning curve? Yes, but the learning curve is going to come at the expense of Isaiah Thomas, of course, or excuse me, the expense of LeBron's fantasy scoring. Now, of course, there is always LeBron alpha dog who just says, no, give me the fucking ball. And you can say that, and that would change everything. And he's at home. We love him at home. Coming off a rest, I think there's a lot of reasons to like LeBron in this situation. There's a lot of reasons to like Kevin Durant in this situation, too, on the opposite side of it. I mean, he's been phenomenal. There's a 45-point floor with this guy as well. I mean, it's the same floor, not quite the same ceiling as Russ, but he's averaged 48 in the last five games. He hasn't dipped below 40 in that span. He had 41 against the Raps. You know, and I just, you never count this guy out from scoring 30 points. And, you know, against the Cavs in that game, he had five blocks, which is kind of an outlier. Did he get away with some of them too? Yeah. I mean, that was his highest block total, second highest block total on the year. And he's done five twice. But he is good for an average of, you know, two blocks per game on the season and one plus in the last five. So you can count on two blocks. I think you can count on a steal. You can count on those defensive peripherals. It seems to be a concern of his. He's going for it. Can you expect 55 fantasy points again here? I don't know. I think what you can expect is it's a very competitive game and a floor of at least 40 fantasy points. Do you have to have both of these guys, LeBron and KD? I'm not sure. I think it's a unique build if you play them both, because if there is a chance that they just go back and forth and trade buckets. But I also think that there's a good merit to fading one of them or both of them to try and have a unique lineup. I think that that's the approach. I think that LeBron will be the more popular choice in this situation, the most popular choice, because I think people will kind of talk themselves into, he's at home now. He got embarrassed last time. He's been great recently. Whereas I'm kind of on the opposite end of Golden State's just too fucking good. That's my read on this game. And that's part of the reason why I love Draymond. I love Draymond in this situation because we know how much Cleveland has struggled in the front court. They have allowed a lot of scoring in the paint. And you know, they are currently 25th in efficiency differential to front court players, allowing the 28th. They are ranked 28th in allowing front court scoring, only worse, only better than Atlanta and Indiana by very, very small margins, and almost equivalent to Phoenix in that respect. So Draymond with 35 minutes. I love him in this situation. This is the kind of game he gets up for. I think you could definitely go to him. He, you know, when he doesn't have to apply himself, he doesn't. But when he does, you know, you have big profile games. He is phenomenal. And on Christmas, he was a big profile game. He went for 40 minutes. He scored 47 fantasy points in that, you know, in that situation. He had a triple double. I love him here. And you look at other big games for him, you know, teams like, you know, the Rockets game, 53 fantasy points in that one, you know, the Bucks game recently, 46 fantasy points. So in situations when, you know, he is called on to be a core piece of this team, he's great. And I think you have a terrible defense in Cleveland, and there's no reason not to like Draymond. All right, let's move over to the Grout. And really, I'm going to combine Grout and value, but I think it's just basically second-tier plays at point guard and shooting guard today. And at point guard, honestly, part of the way that this slate shakes out, I really do feel like you may just want to pay for two point guards, because the point guard position is not fun. I don't know what to say. Like, it's rough after Chris Paul and Steph and Russ. And there's reason in my mind to play two of them, because I think it's the most loaded position on the slate, whereas you have some variety in other spots. I mean, you drop off a very, very steep cliff when you go down to De'Aaron Fox, whose minutes now are getting, you know, in a little bit of trouble with George Hill returning, although he did play 35 against the Clippers last time out. So it seems like he's got a little bit more confidence. I think he is probably the number one. I don't trust Darren Collison's situation right now. He has been hot and cold with how much run he's getting. I don't like the matchup with Utah not doing that. It's just Ricky Rubio. And maybe Teja Dosic. Yeah, I think you could talk yourself into Teja Dosic, who has almost done nothing all year. So I don't want to do it. You could talk yourself into it, but I don't know if I actually think it's a good idea. Yeah, so it's De'Aaron Fox, and Ricky Rubio is kind of a slim second, but the price at 5,100, if you're trying to jam in other people, 28 minutes against Indy is not a bad situation. Indiana, not the best or worst against point guards. In fact, I believe they are dead league average against a point guard. Actually, they're very good against point guards. I'm sorry, they're like dead league average against the shooting guard. Yeah, they are second behind only Miami in how they have allowed fantasy scoring to the point guard position. So that's interesting. Maybe Rubio is, I don't know. I mean, it's just the point per dollar thing. So yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of reason to just pay for two studs and just say, I'll figure out the rest of it. At the shooting guard position, this is an interesting spot on this slate. Donovan Mitchell, though, pops to me here at home against Indiana in a pace-up situation. His salary has not gone up that much, and just the kid is not like, you couldn't be more consistent. It's unbelievable that he is a rookie. Has not dipped below 30 fantasy points, basically, in any of the last five games, and I'm trying to actually track how far back it's been before he's dipped below 30 fantasy points. Okay, fine. Against the Nuggets, he had 26. And then against the Rockets, he only played 21 minutes because he got injured, and he had 20. But talk about consistency. Almost on the nose, one fantasy point per minute, 30% usage in the last five, adding four rebounds, three assists, and a steal, those are turnovers. Just really, really, really consistent in the way that he is playing, and I have no problem attacking Indiana at the shooting guard. Like I said, about league average. He's at home. They haven't been at home in a while. I mean, you look at, they were on the road. They played in Washington. They played in Charlotte. They had a lot of rest, and now they're back home. That's a very good thing. They haven't played since Friday slate, since that Charlotte game. So very interested in Donovan Mitchell from a point per dollar perspective. I think if you can fit him in, he's a guy that I will definitely consider. And the other one is Clay. I mean, 6,700, also from a point per dollar perspective, very, very consistent. And Clay is the kind of guy, you know, in this situation who can get hot, but also just really, really provide you with a relatively consistent floor. And he's cheaper. He's $6,700 is pretty solid. He's been at 0.9 fantasy points per minute on the season, averaging 20 points per game, 24% usage. So a very similar comp to Donovan Mitchell in kind of the profile, the number of attempts, the usage rate, the points scored, that kind of thing. But just kind of varies game to game on how much he's going to contribute. He put up 35 last time against the Cavaliers. So an almost an exact fantasy point per minute, 0.99 fantasy points per minute in that game. So no issue whatsoever with the with Klay Thompson here. I think if he fits your lineup build, I think he's a guy that I could fit in there. If you want to be unique, I think that actually Eric Gordon, Victor Oladipo, Lou Williams, those are unique plays because I think that people will gravitate towards the studs and have to compromise at shooting guard. So finding a way to fit, you know, Lou Williams and Victor Oladipo into your lineup, very, very interesting to me. Add small forward. Honestly, give me Joe Ingles. I think that's where I'm going. No Thabo Sefolosha. Ingles is consistent. 5K, that's a price that I trust for him against Indy. Not worried about the matchup. He's, you know, like I said, rested at home. He's going to get consistent minutes, relatively consistent usage. That's it. Trevor Ariza would be great. I would love him because we've been attacking the Clippers at the three, even though they've been better against the three lately. I've been attacking the Clippers on the wing this year just because they have so much volatility at that position that they have been meh there. You don't know if Lukemba Mute is going to change, how much he's going to change things. He's been out for so long. How many minutes does he get? Does he get, you know, 30 minutes? Do they back off of Ariza because he's been playing so much lately? 40 minutes in the last three games for this guy. Like, you know, how much does he go down to 28 because they want to just get him some rest games, that kind of thing? I'm not really sure. So it's Joe Ingles. He's one of my favorite small forwards there. And at the power forward position, this one is actually pretty nice. I'm not too mad about power forward. You could do Carmelo against a bad defense. I think that Carmelo would be a contrarian play, but you're talking about a pretty low floor, you know, a very low floor for this guy. He's not been very good lately. I would much rather pay $6,500 for Domantas Sabonis, who has been excellent, and I would even more. I definitely want Derek Favors in my lineup. Playing center against Indiana, we know that they have allowed the most scoring to the center position. He is coming off a rest, which gives him a massive boost. He is one guy that, you know, as a veteran, you know, older guy, you want him to be rested. He is a guy who has played really, really well on rest. I'm very interested in that. Other than that, I think you could go down to Thad Young, assuming he's going to get 30 minutes there. I think you could look at Ryan Anderson for 25 minutes, and at his price, you're not going to necessarily kill yourself. Even though Lukemba Mute is back, I think you see 25 minutes for him, which, depending on the usage, is okay. And I think if you want to be different, you look at some of these peripheral bench guys in the Golden State Cleveland game, you know, maybe a Jeff Green, maybe a David West. You know, I can't get away from David West. You guys know how much I love David West. When he has the opportunity to score, I love David West. He's just the offense. If you watch a Warriors game, the offense runs through him when he is out there for 18 minutes. Okay. He is insanely efficient. Everything goes through him. 1.36 fantasy points per minute on the season. Come on, man. Come on. Min Price? You want to get sneaky? Let's get sneaky. Let's play David. God, I have a real soft spot for David West. anyway, all right. Mostly because I think he's like my spirit animal. Like, if I could have a game, give me the powers of a, you know, borderline mediocre NBA player. I mean, David West's not borderline mediocre. He's phenomenal. If I could have the powers, I think, like, David West would be just, that'd be a great fit for me. I'm good. I'm good with David West. Like, I could be him. I'd be happy. I'd be very happy. At center, I mean, guys, I don't know. You got to pay for a center. Like, you got to. Like, you're going to have to pay for Kevin Love or Steven Adams. That's it. That's it. That's all you can do. You have to pick one. They're the exact same price. Kevin Love had a monstrous double-double, 18 rebounds against Golden State in that last game. But Steven Adams has one of the, arguably, the best matchup on the board. When they get him involved, they win. I don't know how much rocket science it requires, but when they get Steven Adams involved, it contracts defense, it allows shooters, it works for them. It's just a question of whether or not they actually want to try and get him involved. So I could see Steven Adams. The problem is, no, Steven Adams, the usage is, I think it's probably better than Kevin Love because of the Isaiah Thomas effect. Fucking Isaiah Thomas is really throwing off the Cavs, guys. Should we get him off of there? I don't know. I have to ask my friend Big Bear DFS. He knows. He's got Cavs takes. I'm going to ask him about that. All right. Let's go over to FanDuel. Let's go ahead and throw together a lineup, see what we got. And I'm going to start at the center position there because I was just there. Steven Adams, boom, go. I'm going to go up to power forward. I talked about this. I'm going to go to... Now, I'm going to need some savings. So don't, you know what? Don't give me shit. Yeah, I'm going to play David West. 3,500 min price. Okay, Derek Favors. Boom, got him. Okay, now, small forward, Jingle Bear. I'm going to leave one of those small forward spots open because I'm not really sure how I want to do this. Shooting guard. Let's get weird. No, let's not get that weird. Let's get the exact guys that I was talking about. Donovan Mitchell and Klay Thompson. I think this is gonna be a pretty balanced lineup. And then I have to get a cheap point guard. Let's see De'Aaron Fox, maybe. That doesn't work, does it? Rubio. That doesn't work, does it? you need a cheap shooting guard somewhere in here. And they're just isn't. I mean, maybe Dwayne Wade on the second unit. He had a good game against Golden State last time out. Fine, let's fuck it. Let's do it. See you later, Klay Thompson. Hello, Dwayne Wade. Okay, let's go. And then I'm gonna go to a cheap small forward here. I'm gonna go to Gerald Green. Or, well, Trevor Ariza. But can I do Trevor Ariza here? And I want Chris Paul and Steph Curry. No, I can't do Trevor Ariza in that situation. So I need another Joe Ingles, basically. Joe Johnson. He's the other guy that's going to pick up those minutes there. This is interesting. Now, it's not completely done. I'm playing a whole lot of old guys. David West, Dwayne Wade, Joe Johnson, Derek Favors. This is like the oldest old man lineup that there is out there. Chris Paul, Steph Curry, Dwayne Wade, Don Mitchell, Joe Ingles, Joe Johnson, David West, Derek Favors, Steven Adams. Now, I'm going to play with this. Obviously, this is probably not where I'm going to end up, although who knows, you know? Why not? There's a lot of reasons why not. And I could go up to Gerald Green. I have no problem with that. The problem is you don't know how much Gerald Green is going to get with the return of Luka Mbamute. My guess is he'll probably go back to about 21 minutes, depending on how much Mbamute plays. This is kind of a fun build. I mean, at point guard, I really do think that there is an argument to be made for paying for two point guards. Unless you wanted to see if you could go, let me see if I can get, if you do De'Aaron Fox. Yeah. I mean, it's really hard to get up to KD. Yeah, it's hard. I mean, you can do Rubio. People are going to play Rubio for this reason, because you have to have, you know, you want an expensive point guard and you want one of these good small forwards. That's why people are going to play Rubio. play them or not. It's up to you. But that's it for me, guys. Hey, good luck. Thank you for all the support on Patreon.com. I love you guys. We will see you tomorrow. Tuesday, of course, brings always some mediocre slate. So we'll bring it.